And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday. As we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the Book of Acts, we travel to understand what things the Lord requires of us as we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. First, Chapter 19 of the Book of Acts, we see Paul on his third missionary journey. He's arriving at Ephesus and finds several believers who are also referred to as disciples. And it's important to note that nobody's theology on the Holy Spirit regarding how and when the Holy Spirit comes on people, nobody's theology is perfect. I will die to defend that, and you will see why. People tend to forget that the wind blows where it will, just like Jesus said. Next, Paul asks these disciples if they received the Holy Spirit when they believed. This is a very unique question, considering that this event that we're talking about in Acts 19 takes place 24 years after Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Just think about it. 24 years later. He's like, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Why is Paul asking if their understanding has enabled them to embrace the empowerment of the Spirit? Several authors have given their wonderful perspectives, and there is a great variety of interpretations, don't you know? And then finally, Paul makes it clear that John's baptism was about turning from sin and turning to God, which these disciples did. It is not as though God rejected them. That'd be absurd. As soon as they heard that there was a deeper way to get more of God in their lives through the revelation of Jesus Christ, they were immediately baptized into the name of Jesus. True believers always want more of the Lord.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. That's just so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. I should probably say that a little slower. 972-445-0770. When you make that call, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, creatures of all ages and sizes, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Talking to Dynamite D, that's the same feeling you get when you're being appreciated for something you do.
That is a lovely feeling,
isn't that not just like fantastic? All right. Now, I want to make sure Dynamite D knows up ahead of time. You don't have to be a little softer here because Noelle's here, even though she's got the pad of paper and the pencil out with it, Dynamite D written at the top, just waiting for you to make a mistake.
Oh, wow. A little nervous now.
Yeah. Sure. That's funny. Okay, you guys know I'm kidding. Come on. All right, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is maybe you've got a prayer request and maybe you've got a praise report. We were teaching just the other day and learned about that when you, in fact, praise the Lord, when you sing a new song from your mouth, when he puts your feet upon a rock and they put a new song in your mouth and you share that, others trust in the Lord. So what you get to understand is that others trust in the Lord by you sharing your testimonies of what the Lord has done for you.
And that's a powerful point, Dave, that I hope the audience don't, you know, miss. Like, it doesn't matter how you talk. Sometimes just sharing your story, you'll impact someone that you have no idea that you're impacting.
Exactly. And here's the thing about that. It's like you keep thinking, well, I got to sound like this or do like this. It's God who takes what you say and makes it something into somebody else's ears. It's not how you say it. It's what the Lord does with it. That is always the truth. And so you can have that going on. Maybe you've got a prayer request. You just want to have other people joining you in faith. And that's one of the things that Samson said yesterday. And we just agreed with him in faith. And he's praying for people who are, you know, suffering for, you know, for a certain medical struggle. And it's just like when you and I agree and we petition the Lord, it's like that is the way to do it. And the big key in that is if it takes a mustard seed of faith and we're all operating in portions of a mustard seed for whatever reason, if we combine them all together, then we'll have more faith. And that's what you want to be praying with. That's why we pray for people all over the place and asking the Lord to bless and help. And remember our saying, so if we pray 1,000 times and 100 people get touched, what's the answer? The answer is pray 10,000 times so that 1,000 people get touched. I mean, that's what you do. That's what we want to be doing. We also ask you trivia questions. Trivia questions? Why would you do that? Why not? Here it is. Ready? Pretty straightforward. Who died nearly 3 hours after her husband? Was it Jezebel or Sapphira? Jezebel or Sapphira? That is the question. Who died nearly 3 hours? I was going to say Jezebel, Sapphira, or a woman comedian who followed her husband who was a male comedian, but I thought that most people would not understand that joke. Anyway, if you think you know, 972-445, because they go on stage and then they die if they're not funny. It's called dying in comedy. 972-445-0770. That's the number to call. 214-210-8483. That is the number to text David at hemustincrease.org. And you know we're going to be going into some very serious theology very shortly from now. But before we do that, we're going to do our DNA, because without DNA, nothing's happening. I mean, I don't care. It's just like, I don't care. Nope. You know they have heard the expression, be prayed up?
I have heard that one, Dave.
Yeah, you got to be prayed. You got to have the time in. So let's do it. D for DNA. This is the building blocks of what we are as Christians on an everyday basis. D says, draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every single day that has a Y in it, you should spend some time with the Lord. There you go. How much time? I don't know. Figure it out. Like I said before, my relationship with my wife, we spend time talking every day. It's not the exact same amount of time. It's not the exact same size. It's like, it depends. That's what a relationship is. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, 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 never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And they're going to try. They're still going to try. Even if you're on Twitter, which is now X, and you say something about Jesus and the government in Finland doesn't like it, they're going to contemplate throwing you in jail if you're in Finland.
Wow.
That's just quoting a scripture. It's not even taking a position. It's just like, wowzer. So you got to know the word of God. It's got to be inside your mind and heart. You got to access it. We have tons of access. So if they strip away all the Bibles, nobody will have an excuse for saying, well, I didn't read it enough, so I don't know what it says. That's not going to work. Okay? Not going to work. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which means OPM, other people matter, which means other people matter. And so if you want to fulfill the law of Christ, which is exactly what Jesus told us to do, you share in others' burdens, you share in their victories and in their struggles together, you become a part of them. What did he say? What are the first two commandments? The summation of the commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? That's the summation. But then Jesus said in John 13:34-35, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, which is much more intense than us loving others as we love ourselves. Get that? Okay. That is our DNA. Okay, making that clear so that everybody knows. And so if you're listening to the show, and one of the first times you listen to the show, we do want to remind you, this is not professional radio. It's just radio. Okay, just keep that there. All right, somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, hello, Dr. Spoon. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic, Deborah. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
I still laugh at that Bathsheba one. That's just, like, so funny, the Bathsheba. It's just, like, such a classic. Anyway, all right, here we go, right to it. Who died nearly 3 hours after her husband? Was it Jezebel or Sapphira?
I think it was Sapphira.
That is correct, Amanda! Your record is intact as the world's greatest guesser on trivia. There's no problem there. Yep, it was 3 hours later than she was like, hey, did you and your husband do this?
Oh, yeah, this is what happened. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, bye-bye. She would not have lasted long on To Tell the Truth. Anyway.
Right. You know, I tried to call earlier, but Gary beat me to it, and he always beats me to it. It's funny. I'll go, oh, shoot, I bet it's Gary, and it'll be Gary.
It's so funny because then we have that, and then we have people that text at the same time, and they come in. You should see the splits on the text. It'll be like 207, 207, 207, 207, and then you got to try to figure out which person did it first because it's all like at the same time.
Wow.
But you're phenomenal.
Right, well, thank you.
Thank you.
And God bless.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Deborah's awesome.
When she called, I was laughing, and she was laughing too. She said, I heard that commercial. I said, yeah, we were laughing about it over the break.
Yeah, it's just – that's just too – I mean, it's funny. It's just one of those funny things. Okay. All right, so we're going to do a little bit of the entry point into this teaching because of how deep this is going to go. And so if you're asking me if I'm going to resolve the difference between all of the Baptists, all of the Charismatics, all of the Pentecostals, all of the Church of Christ, all of the Church of God, all of the United Methodists, for those that believe in the Bible, all of the Presbyterian churches, for those that believe in the Bible, if we're going to resolve all of their theologies in this teaching, no. In fact, my contention and what we're about to get into is that this really does more than not demonstrate that everybody's acting like they know, but they don't know. That's what's all I'm going to say. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And here is what it says. And we're not going to go too deep in this one. We'll get a little deeper in the next one. While Apollos was in Corinth. Now, remember, we were just talking about Apollos. I mean, the last 2 weeks. And Apollos, he was teaching, but he only knew what? He only knew John's baptism. All you got to do is look at chapter 18 of Acts, verse 25, where it says he spoke with great enthusiasm and accuracy about Jesus. However, he only knew about John's baptism. And the problem that some people have is they don't understand that John's baptism was not excluding Jesus. In fact, John said, there goes the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John also said, I baptize with water, but he who baptizes after me is greater than me. So John was pointing to Jesus. John was directing to Jesus. And John also taught the ministry of forgiveness through repentance and turning their people to God. That is all great. Now we're going to pick it. There's a reason why that's in verse 18. And now we go to verse 19, or chapter 18, and now we go to chapter 19. While Paul was in Corinth, he traveled through the interior provinces. Finally, he came to Ephesus, where he found several believers. Some of the people in the text, let me say this real quickly, we'll translate that disciples, okay? But believers is accurate. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied, we don't even know what you mean. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So I just want you to stop there because what people are missing, okay, on all sides, I'm just trying to be honest here. I'm trying to be that. I'm not trying to be in the middle where I'm getting shot from both sides. I'm trying to actually shoot at both sides. What people are missing is that in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, that was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all. Right? That doesn't mean the Holy Spirit didn't exist before. The Holy Spirit covered the face of the earth and brought creation to fruition. So the Holy Spirit's been active since existent one between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But in Acts chapter 2, 4, there was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So now, instead of the slim pickings of the Old Testament, in the New Testament, it's just like a river, right? So Paul comes across these believers, and the biggest thing everybody talks about is, well, are they believers? Are they not believers? Are they believers? Are they not believers? Well, why would anybody assume they're not believers? Even Apollos, who was baptized under the baptism of John, was certainly considered a believer since he was a powerful preacher and teacher. So it's just like kind of a weird thing to try and take that away from these people. But Paul asked, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, before we get into the depth of this, I want you to catch this. 24 years earlier was the baptism of the Holy Spirit being poured out at Pentecost. Now, that is almost a quarter of a century. So the question, see, that I ask, this is me. Why did Paul ask that question? Okay, so just a minute. So before you say, well, he must have hung out with them and noticed they were deficient in gifts. It doesn't say that. I understand, but that's reading into the text. It doesn't say they didn't. It doesn't say they did. It doesn't say anything. It says that where he found several believers, there's a bunch of people, and they. He just said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit?" Maybe it's because they were talking about Jesus in less educated terms, just like Apollos was teaching about Jesus in less educated terms. I don't know. It's an interesting question. But here's the thing. If we try to put Jesus and his effect in our lives in a box, we know we're wrong. So why is it okay then to put the Holy Spirit and his effects in a box? Wouldn't that also be wrong? Is Jesus, you know, you get part of Jesus and you get all of it when you get Jesus, but that doesn't mean it all happens or comes about or anything. Just stop that. Why are you trying to do that? Look, these guys were genuine people. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't have been hanging out with them. But they didn't have all the info. So when we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit more about the info. Because the info they were hungry for. And if you're a Christian and you feel, I'm hungry for more, this could be right up your alley to help you get where you're trying to get to. Okay? All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Do you know how you keep going? Do you know how you keep putting one foot in front of the other? Do you know how you don't give up? Do you know how you don't quit even though you want to quit? You fix your eyes on Jesus. You see with God. When Peter went out of that boat and stepped on that water, there is no natural principle in the world, in any normal universe, that would allow Peter to walk on water. But he did one thing well. He looked at Jesus, and as he was looking at Jesus, the Bible says he walked on the water. He looked at his situation, just focusing at Jesus. Then he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he saw the winds and the waves, and he sank. He lost the correct attitude when he stopped seeing with Jesus in the picture. Whatever you see, whatever you face, whatever you encounter, do not see it or face it in the natural. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So everything you see, you must insert the picture of Jesus.
The David Spoon Experience.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. The scholar Stephen has decided he wants to share a little bit with us, and we want to give him that chance too, so let's send him on through. Knock, knock. Is this my buddy Stephen?
I think so.
Hey, I called you a scholar. That was good.
Hey, I'm kind of wonder every day, but today it looks that way.
I love it. What you got, brother?
Well, about what you're talking about, it's very interesting because Paul made the statement about coming to the full knowledge of Jesus, of the whole situation.
Correct.
He never said that he has that. He said that was the process that we will go through. And at some point we get there. And then in another place in the New Testament, it about talks about everybody has their own song, their own psalm, their own gift, whatnot, and that they should all be included. The point is, it's exactly what you were saying. None of us have the full picture. We all have bits and pieces, and coming together allows us to get a better grasp on everything.
That is a brilliant statement. Let me just say that right now. So I was hesitant initially to let you come on before I went through my next teaching. I was going to let you come on after that. But what you just said made what I'm going to teach better. So that was absolutely the Lord dropping that on you. I mean, that was just absolutely 100% the Lord going, hey, I'm going to use Stephen right now. And then Dynamite D going, hey, Dave, you got to let this guy do this right now. Like, okay. Because I don't know everything. Nobody, I've never met anybody that knows everything except for Jesus. I mean, I met Jesus. He knows everything. But the idea behind that is you're 100%. People are always moving towards it, always growing in, always developing, always processing. Even Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, pressing forward to that which is before me. So, I mean, the whole thing was just to draw closer in and in and in and in and in and never stop doing that. And it's so different for so many people. It's like, stop trying to box it. Let's do it together. Let's build the kingdom together. Let's stand together. And if something great happened to you and you have a different psalm and I have a different psalm, awesome. Let's sing them unto the Lord.
Amen.
Right? That's excellent job, brother.
Have a blessed day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. All right, so even when we're on the air, I tell people, don't ID. I looked at you and went, right? Right?
And let me say this. Stephen actually didn't want to say that over the air. To give him credit, he wanted to tell me, and I tell you. I said, I probably won't be able to say it like you. Go over and say it.
He did it in exactly what it is. Because here's the thing that this is the thing. Being a Bapticostal, this is the thing that drives me crazy. Well, for me, it's a short putt, but that's besides the point. With my wife nodding her head going, yes, that's correct. Anyway, the idea is to understand that the Lord does his things so differently than we tell him or require him. And so I find it fascinating that they do this big buildup on Apollos in Acts 18, and then you go to Acts 19. It's not an accident. Everybody knows scripture's put together for a purpose, with reason. And so you know these guys are committed to it, but for whatever reason, they've never heard more than they heard, okay? And now they're hearing more, and look how quick they are to respond. Look at what the passage says. This is what I want you to pick up on. So Paul's like, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They asked him. They said, no, they replied. We don't even know what you mean, or we've never even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. And so then he said, well, what baptism did you experience? They replied, the baptism of John, okay? Paul said John's baptism was to demonstrate a desire to turn from sin and turn to God. John himself told the people to believe in Jesus, the one John said would come later. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. See, a true believer, as soon as you find out there is more, you're like, okay, I want more. That's the thing. If you're a genuine believer, so does that, for these guys, it's 24 years later. For some people, it's 2 minutes and 40 seconds later. For some people, it's 2 days and 4 hours later. For some people, it's 2 years and 4 months later. It doesn't even have nothing to do with anything. What it has to do with is you acknowledging Jesus Christ. You accept Jesus Christ as Lord in your heart by faith. You receive the Holy Spirit as you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's actually in you, right? It's like, wow. And then you think about that, it's like, listen to the uniqueness and the situation that's going on. These different interpretations that people take a stand on, they're not wrong if they're saying, hey, this is how I see it, awesome. This is how this guy sees it, awesome. Let's do this before the Lord. See, that's the spirit. But for people to take denominational stands that to some degree people won't fellowship with one another if it's not agreed with, it's absurd. It's absurd. Nobody has yet, let me just say this, nobody has yet to define how less of the Holy Spirit that John the Baptist, Elizabeth his mom, and Zechariah his dad, all three in two chapters says they were with one chapter says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. One prophesied, one made a proclamation, one leaped for joy. You can tell me this. It's so weird. It's like they didn't do anything that everybody else was supposed to do. In fact, you know what happened to Zacharias? He had to shut up for a while. Then he got to get it. It's just like, what? The Lord is in charge. Now, what we're going to do at the end of this show is talk about for those that, I want more. I'm going to do a whole kind of teaching, but I want to finish this because I want you to understand where we're coming from. We know this text is, these disciples, they don't know about the Holy Spirit. Can we just make that as plain as what they're like, holy what? What are you talking about, right? So they obviously heard certain things from John, but maybe didn't catch the, I baptize with water, the one coming after me will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So they didn't catch all of it. This is unique because John did preach Jesus would baptize people in the Holy Spirit. However, we understand that they were functioning under the mystery initiated by John the Baptist. What if they got baptized by John the Baptist in the first week, year, month, whatever, and then off they go? Who knows? And it doesn't matter what the scholars say it must be. It matters that you understand that if somebody has a different approach to this or different understanding, that doesn't make them any less a brother or a sister in Christ. Zero. Right? I've said this before and I'll say it again, but I gotta be careful because my wife is here. Her family, her dad is a phenomenal Christian. But in the beginning, when we first all got together, we would laugh about the chosen frozen. I think most people know what I'm talking about. But they exhibit the characteristics of Christ. Okay. That's the win, right? They shoot for the win, they score. You see what I'm saying? What these guys didn't have was the equipping of the Holy Spirit, which is what we're going to deal with when we get back on how to get equipped with the Holy Spirit if you need more of the Spirit in your life. which we all do, and we'll refer to Jesus in that teaching. We'll take our break, and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Destroying
everyone. Have you ever wanted to get involved with a ministry that promotes Jesus Christ as Lord, but just don't know how? Serving in ministry is a matter of devotion, time, and talent. Are you looking for a place to try and test the waters? Do you want to get involved? Come join the Ambassadors Initiative. Be an ambassador for the David Spoon Experience. It doesn't pay great. Actually, it doesn't pay anything. But the eternal benefits are out of this world. Be a representative. Why not? It couldn't hurt. Well, we hope not anyway. You don't need to be a professionally qualified minister. You need to have a pulse. By that, we mean you need to have a heart. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website and then click on the Ambassador's Initiative link. Fill out the form and we will reach out to you. Sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jonathan and David were closely knit. And David made a commitment to Jonathan, and Jonathan said, I want you to make sure you're not going to take any kind of wrath or any kind of vengeance on my kids, on my family, on my people. And David made that commitment. What I want you to get in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4, is that Mephibosheth is an offspring of Jonathan, and he was crippled or he was lame. He couldn't walk properly. He couldn't, you know, function properly. He was at a tremendous disadvantage. And I remember when the preacher in North Phoenix Baptist Church looked at his audience, and just to give you an idea how big this church was, the auditorium seated like about 5,000. So it's like huge, right? And he looks around at everybody. And then he says this. He said, "You are Mephibosheth." And I was thinking, what? What? And he goes, "You," and you know, I'm thinking in my mind, but he's preaching, and was he just one of the best preachers? "You are Mephibosheth. You are lame and unable to walk without help."
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Here's your next trivia question. I'm feeling pretty confident for most people. Here we go. Although this is the tougher one, remember that. What is the name of Samuel's mother? Is it Ruth, Hannah, or Deborah? What is the name of Samuel's mother? Ruth, Hannah, or Deborah? Do not say Mrs. Samuel. That does not count. I'm just saying. It doesn't. I'm waiting for Al to go, "Mrs. Samuel." Okay, anyway. If you think you know the answer, you are welcome to reach out to us. What is our number? 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You know, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So our question is, what is the name of Samuel's mother? Is it Ruth? Is it Hannah? Or is it Deborah? We'll go up to the website, then we'll take the call. I want to make sure everybody knows on the website. I'll just make it really, really simple. There's that big give button. Yeah, use that thing. That's awesome. Check it out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report? HeyMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeyMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeyMustIncrease.org.
HeyMustIncrease.org.
There.
It has to be a little chicken or rooster thingy.
Yes, that's Tarzan the chicken rooster thing.
Oh, wow.
All right, somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, this is your little brother.
Hey, what's going on, Samson? How are you?
Good, good. Did you got the rooster or what's happened?
No, no, that was a Tarzan. It was like, it seems like
somebody grabbed a rooster from his neck.
So it wasn't just me.
Yeah, it wasn't just you. That's correct. All right, let's answer the triv question. You ready for this one?
Sure.
Okay. The name of Samuel's mother, and I just want to say before I give you the ones to choose from, it's not Mrs. Samuel or, as Al said, Mom. The name of Samuel's mother is either Ruth, Hannah, or Deborah. Which one is it?
It was Hannah.
That is a correcta! It was Hannah! Not known for the cartoon as Hanna-Barbera, it was just Hannah. Excellent job, brother.
Yes, it wasn't Hannah Montana, it was just Hannah.
Or Hanna-Barbera, or any of those other...
That's great.
All right, now listen, I appreciate you doing that prayer thing because people really like that. That was good that you did that.
Yes, well, actually, I was just praying and I felt like it is from God that he gave me a name, Elizabeth. It could be Liz, it could be Beth, it could be Mary Beth. I believe there is a spirit, like a word of discernment, that they have a wrist issue or maybe some kind of arthritis in their hand. I believe Lord is saying that he's touching right now and the healing or restoration is coming.
Let it happen in Jesus' name. That's what we pray. Amen. Amen.
And I'm committing myself for the whole month. I'm going to keep praying for the people, those who have bones issue or any orthopedic related issues.
You do that. And if somebody passes along that they want to be specifically on that list, I'll get that to you. Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you, brother.
All right. God bless you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. All right. So we're going to get ready to teach, and I'm going to get into this I'm going to share stuff. Going to get real personal. So before I get real personal, I have to do one other thing that precedes that, and that's tell two of my jokes. So I don't know what you're thinking. I mean, I don't know why you would think it'd be any other way. Now, if these offend you, like I said before, I apologize in advance that you don't have a sense of humor and don't understand that this is a joke. Okay? All right. All right, ready? Okay. These are both on people, marriage, babies, kind of that kind of stuff, right? Young couple's Sunday school class was studying the story of Abraham and Sarah, who were in their 90s and when they were blessed with a child. Among all the other things, the teacher asked, "What lesson do we learn from this story?" A young mother of three who was having financial difficulties blurted out, "They waited until they can afford it." See that?
Say what?
See, that's funny. Okay, but this one's really funny. Don't take offense, okay? I just cannot say anything, but don't take offense or a tent or anything else. A Sunday school teacher asked her class, "What did Jesus say about getting married? What did Jesus say about getting married?" Little Johnny quickly answered, "Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.'"
Oh, dear God, no.
Come on!
Pretty good. I like that one.
Come on! If you're not laughing, there is something wrong. Okay? I just want to say, if you're not laughing, there's something wrong.
I give you that one, Dave. Okay. That was pretty good.
Okay. Here's Al's joke. How do you cut the sea in half? How do you cut the sea in half? With a seesaw. Okay. Yay! See, we have people that talk, preach, share, jokes, just name it. That's what we do. Let's get into the text. Why? Because we can. We are right there, and I want to get into this, and this is a huge portion. So I really want you to kind of zero in. Take a second to zero in here. We're going to pick it back up at verse 1 and go through and make sure we are just on exactly where we need to be. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior provinces. This is verse 1 of chapter 19 in Acts. Finally, he came to Ephesus, where he found several believers. "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" he asked them. "No," they replied, "we don't know what you mean. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." "Then what baptism did you experience?" he asked. And they replied, "The baptism of John." He said John's baptism was to demonstrate a desire to turn from sin and turn to God. John himself told the people to believe in Jesus, the one John said would come later. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul makes it clear that John's baptism was about turning from sin and then turning to God, which these disciples did that. It is not as though God would have rejected them. That's just absurd. As soon as they heard there was a deeper way of getting more of God into their lives through the revelation of Jesus Christ, they were immediately baptized in the name of Jesus. Having said that, I want you to understand, this does not mean that there would have been some kind of change in the formula at the end of Matthew 28, where it simply states these disciples went from John's baptism to Jesus' baptism. People have said, see, that proves that when it says baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that now, according to Paul in Acts 19, they just get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That is completely twisting the scripture. It's just not even close. Okay? They get baptized in the authority of Jesus Christ, but the formula is still Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That doesn't change. It never changes. Jesus' words don't change. So I'm just making sure everybody's got that. But I want to talk to you about a very serious issue that people have a struggle with, and that is, when you get saved, do you have some, if not all, of the Holy Spirit? Well, let me say it this way. You have the Holy Spirit when you get saved, but that does not mean you're open to everything the Holy Spirit's going to do in your life. That's the simplicity of it. So what does that mean? What that means is that you're never going to be deficient in Jesus, but as you're growing in the Lord, you may come to know, I need more and more and more and more and more of the Lord. So what is it that you can do to have more and more and more of the Lord? I think everybody's on board with you can have a better, deeper, more profound relationship with the Lord Jesus by simply spending more time with the Lord, right? Everybody knows that. But I want to point out something that is going to theologically challenge some people, and I don't want you to freak out. And if you don't agree, it doesn't mean you should stop listening to the show or something, or, you know, you just, whatever the show can provide you that can help you draw closer to the Lord, that's awesome. Use that. And then if it's mildly entertaining, that's cool too, okay? But I want you to get what I'm going to share, because this is critical in understanding this. I'm going to take you to Luke, and I'm going to take you into Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. So I want you to just listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you goes to his friend at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine has come to me on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Do not bother me. My door is already shut, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up to give you anything.' I tell you that even though he will not get up to provide for him because of his friendship, yet because of the man's persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." Now get ready. "So I tell you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and he who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion?" Now stop right there. Just listen to what Jesus is teaching about prayer. He's teaching people in relationship to God that the Lord, I'm in bed. I've already got you covered. Don't worry. And I'm just going to stay here and leave me alone. Knock, knock, knock. Get up. I want more. I need bread. I need this. And that's what Jesus is teaching in relationship to prayer. And then he says, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Does anybody think that doesn't apply now? Do you think that applies now? I'm just asking you straight. Do you think that ask and it will be given to you applies now? Of course. Right? Who's going to deny that, right? But verse 13 says, so if you are evil, you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So in other words, if asking and seeking and knocking are for everything else, you can't exclude the Holy Spirit from that. That's in the context. So what's the answer to having more of God inside of you? Well, some of that has to do with asking for there to be more of the Holy Spirit in you. So some people will argue, well, all the Holy Spirit's in you. Okay, well, then you can phrase it differently, even though Jesus says it this way. If you want to phrase it, let me be more open to that which the Spirit is in me is available to do. In other words, what you want is more. And Jesus tells you, you want more? Ask. You want to have more of the Holy Spirit in your life? Ask. I think I have enough of the Holy Spirit. Really? I don't think I have enough of the Holy Spirit, and I've gone through every possible stage of every possible theology you can come up with. And you know what I think? I think every day when I wake up and I pray, I say, let me be led. As many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then I say, Holy Spirit, lead me. Why would I not say that? Why would I not do that? Why would Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, make such an issue about us grieving the Holy Spirit, which is to make the Holy Spirit sad? That's not quenching. That's grieving. Why would there be such a big deal in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, where it says, be filled with the Spirit? Why? Because we don't always stay filled with the Spirit. I don't know who could deny that. There are times when you walk in connection with the Lord, you are singing praises to Jesus, you are full of joy, you are full of the Holy Spirit, and it's awesome. And then there's times where you're depleted, like the air runs out of a balloon. You know what you do? You ask for more of the wind. Because it was Jesus who said, you know, if you're going to ask, a father would give a son a fish, you'd give him an egg. Why wouldn't the Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask? How is that not present tense? So my theological argument is even if whether you were quote-unquote baptized in the Holy Spirit, whether you spoke in tongues or spit nickels, or whether nothing happened, and whether you became much more on fire later on, whatever, I could care less. How does that change the application of the Holy Spirit having an increase in your life? It doesn't. Other than you might get called out on some of the sins you think you're hiding. Okay, I mean, I get it, but outside of that. So if you are evil and you know how to give gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And how's that going to come about? Through the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was poured out because of the redeeming work of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and his redemption and his ascension. What happened after the ascension? The Holy Spirit was poured out. Well, there you go. And if you need more because you're operating thinly, right? And you think, well, how do I know if I'm operating thinly? I got a great answer for you. Ready? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Are you lacking in any of those? Just like are you deficient in any of those? I'm just asking, right? If you are, well, that tends to be the fruit of the Spirit. And so if you're lacking, then maybe you need more of the Spirit so you can have more patience. See, I know this is not the way this is supposed to be taught. I don't care. And I'm not saying that to be arrogant. What I'm trying to say is you can't let the theology stop you from the pursuit. if you were one who was raised in, you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, you spoke in tongues, that doesn't mean you don't need to be filled with the Spirit. Otherwise, the command in Ephesians 5:18 is useless. And if you're one of those that believe you got it all, whether you do this or not, that's fantastic. But you also need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, the command is useless. And Jesus says, how will not the Father give if you ask him? And he's like, well, I got to do this, or I got to learn this, or this will be the evidence. I can just say it as simple as possible. Jesus already promised that if you ask for the Holy Spirit to the Father in Jesus' name, you will get the Holy Spirit. If you think you didn't get him, it's simple. You're not a Bible believer. Because Jesus said, hey, this is yours through me. Ask. It's like, well, I need to have evidence. Well, see if your love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control increases. And then I'm just going to say, then there's the people who are like, well, you know, that's different. The fruit of the Spirit's different than the power of the Spirit. So I would take the billion-dollar question that nobody can answer. Not one person can answer this. How do you love your neighbor how do you love your enemy without the power of God ripping through your system? It's impossible. I can't even love me, let alone my neighbor, let alone my enemy. If you have any capacity or compassion for your enemy, you are on an excellent track. You are doing so well, it's not funny. That's better than having faith that can move mountains, because that is Jesus-like. Oh, you just said there's nothing you can say. Okay,
forget it. And I like that, Dave, because we think so deep and want some deep theology, we can't even master the power of the basics.
Well, that, you know.
If we could call those the basics.
That's just so, I mean, love your enemy. Pray for them. Okay, so again, praying for them is not, oh, Lord, let this giant hole emerge right in front of them that they may be swallowed whole. And as they're just about to enter hell, then perhaps they repent. That is not, come on. Jesus is on the cross. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. Right? That's true. That's true. They don't know what's going on. Okay, they need help, man. And so why I'm teaching it this way and I'm forcing it this way, so to speak, is not to say that you can't keep your theology. Keep your theology. That's why I'm a Bapticostal. I like both the Baptist side of it and the Pentecostal side of it. I do. I like both of them. I just merge them instead of eliminating. And then this is my take. I know I run deficient and I need more of the Holy Spirit. So I ask the Father in the name of the Son for more of the Holy Spirit, since the Holy Spirit is now the ministry of Jesus Christ on the earth. So therefore, which is why Jesus said everything he says, he speaks. And I'm just like, okay. By faith, Jesus is in your heart. Where is Jesus right now? Where is he right now? At the right hand of the Father, right? Where is the ministry of Jesus right now on earth? In the Holy Spirit. Where's the Holy Spirit? In you. Oh! See, now that's a mic drop. see, it's like, bam, okay? Now, I know I'm being irritating and irritable, but the reason I'm passionate about it is because it is exceedingly important not to let your upbringing in theology, whether you're Baptist, Pentecostal, or anything in between, limit you from operating in the power and anointing of the Spirit. Just don't do that. Why do that? Right? God used a donkey to rebuke a prophet, so he can use all of us to do anything he wants. I mean, just think about that. It's like, whoa. And so, you know, when you worship and you get, like, and you're in the presence of the Lord, right? Which is usually the manifestation of the Spirit. And, you know, all of this is together. It's three in one, one in three. It's just that's what it is. Like, well, I don't fully understand it. You mean you don't fully understand God? Get in line. Here's what you can fully understand. He loves you so much, he would never leave you as orphans. He would never abandon you. He would never forsake you. You need more? Ask for more. And just as a closing thought, because I can't let it go, because I won't let it go. Just think about Moses after spending all that time with God, and just what is it that he said? What does he say? His face glowed. He spent so much time with God. His face was radiant. Right? It's radiant. It's like bronze. It's like, wow. He put a veil over that guy's face. After he spends all that time with God, what does he say to God? I want more. I want to see more of you. I want to understand more of you. I want more of you. Wow. I mean, I don't know what you say to that. I don't know. Here's what I'd say to everybody. Great. I support you in your theology. Ask for more. Great. I support you in what you stand in and how your position of it. I love you. It's fantastic. Ask for more. You want to know why? Because all of heaven and all of eternity is going to be the more. Get it now. Don't use Jesus as fire insurance. How about that? I mean, I understand, but don't. Now, when I first got saved, I'll say this. When I first got saved, and I've told this before, I did use Jesus as fire insurance. I thought that was great, being a Jewish guy, and then I thought I believe in Jesus. And see, now I believe in Jesus, and so I'm not going to go to hell because I'm Jewish, and I'm not going to go to hell because I'm a Christian, so I got fire insurance. And then because I said yes to Jesus, he started to say, okay, now it's my turn. I'm going to start taking over territory piece by piece. Until you get to the point where he goes, no, I want all of this part here. And you're like, what? And you know it's the Lord. So sometimes the Lord has you let go of things or people or things in order so that more of him can fill into you. So that that empty hole can be filled by him. Okay? All right. That's a kind of a long teaching on what we call pneumatology. Pneumatology is the study of the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not overly complex, but you're not going to grasp it all on this side either. Just say, I want more. And God promises he'll give you more. You don't even have to dance for it, which is really good because with my wife here, I just confess, I cannot dance. Okay, there you go. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the true station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.